Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence with us at this holiday time. Just read to you two verses at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 1. These words refer to Hannah's dedication of young Samuel. She said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. So we pray the Lord will grant us his presence today, even speak to our hearts through his word. We're going to sing together the lovely children's hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," as we commence the service. 692. Nigel and Ruth have chosen the two children's hymns that we're going to sing in the service this morning. So I invite you to stand as we sing the hymn 692 together, please. We're going to seek the Lord together, just in prayer. We'll take a moment just to set our hearts as we enter into his presence. Heavenly Father, we come before thee in the attitude of prayer, glad that we're able to approach thy throne. Thank you for the great privilege that you've given to us. Even as the hymn writer said, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We pray, Father, give to us a greater desire to pray. We ask thee, even as a church, that you'll pour out a greater spirit of prayer upon us. We ask thee, Father, lead us on at the throne of grace. Give us help even now as we seek thee in the prayers and petitions that we offer before thee. We want to come, Father, with praise upon our lips today. Your word teaches us, whoso offereth praise glorifieth the Lord. We pray that in all we do today in your house, that will bring honour and glory to thy great name. We plead, Father, that you'll be with us. We're thankful for all that are gathered in the service this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. We praise thee for the opportunity to meet in your house, to gather for fellowship, and to hear the word of God. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship thee. We pray that you'll be pleased even, Father, to prepare our hearts as we're bowed before thee now, and help us in this meeting to give to thee the worship of our hearts. Your word says that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We want to pray, Father, come and be with us, be amongst us. You've promised in your word that even where two or three are met together in thy name, that there thou art in the midst of them. So we plead, Father, be amongst us, be in our midst in both of these services, and be in our midst as we gather a little later, even around the table of the Lord. We want to thank you for the work carried out already, that vital work among the children and the young people. We thank you for our Sunday school, for the boys and girls, the young people. We thank you for their presence today, even in the house of God. Pray that you'll save all the children of this church, save every child of every family of the congregation. We pray that you'll call them, Father, early in life to thyself. We have read already about young Samuel and how his mother lent him, dedicated him to the Lord all the days of his life. And Lord, we remember how you called Samuel. There was a time that he knew not the Lord. And there was that night that you spoke to him, Samuel, Samuel, called him to thyself. And Lord, we would pray do the same for every child in the families of our church. We want to pray that each of them, while they're still young, will hear the voice of God calling them to thyself in salvation. Pray that you might even save today, Father, amongst us. That would be the earnest cry, the earnest prayer of our hearts. Remember the dedication in the service this morning. Lord, be near to us. May your hand be upon that dedication. We pray for the help of God and for your blessing upon the family too. Remember the time around the table, even a little later. Thank you for the opportunity to remember our Saviour, to remember the greatness of his love. We have sung together already about that love. We thank you, Father, for each one that is a personal testimony of God's salvation in this service, and that can say of a truth, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We pray, Father, that there'll be hearts in our services today that will be touched and even overwhelmed by the love of Christ, even for sinners. And we pray, Father, help us to fathom even further the greatness of your love towards us. Your word tells us that that love passeth knowledge, and we're conscious that we need the help of God in our understanding of it. And we pray, be with us at the table, and we thank you for those that are transferring their membership to us. Remember Daniel and Naomi today especially, and encourage them and bless them in their own hearts and souls. Pray you'll lead us on, Father, as a church. We pray that this year for us will be a year of progress, a year of advancement, a year when the Lord's pleased to give the increase. We pray you'll come and crown this year for us, even with your blessing evident upon every department of the church. We think of so many, Father, of this congregation that are unwell at this time. We ask thee to be near to them, especially the senior members of our church. May they know grace and strength even for the latter years of their lives. And Lord, we remember our brother Jim Cross, especially in the hospital. Be near to Jim. We pray that he would know a strengthening, even a healing touch. Guide the doctors and the staff there. We pray you'll support the family member Brother David Castles at this time as well, asked for guidance to be given even to the doctors and the treatment that David will be given. Pray that you'll sustain him. Be with Edith and the family circle too. May they know the grace and the strength and the peace of God even in these days. And Lord, we want to give thanks for the health that allows us to be here in the house of God. Help us, Father, never to take those things for granted. We recognize that every good gift comes down to us from above. We're mindful too of those on holiday at this time. Be with them, be near to them. May they know a time of refreshment, a time of rest of body and spirit and soul. And we pray that you'll give them journeying mercies and even bring them back to us again in safety. So Lord, hear our prayers now. We're glad that we can give ourselves this meeting, this day, our families, and even the week before us into your hands, and asking that you'll be with us and guide us and prosper us and be pleased to use us all to your glory. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together the 127th Psalm. The Psalm 127, accept the Lord, do build the house, and the builders lose their pain. Except the Lord, the city keep, the watchman watch in vain. So it's just a short psalm, 127th. The tune is Stroudwater. We're going to stand again as we sing, please. We're going to read together in the scriptures. We're going to read just that psalm that we have sung together. That will be our meditation in our Bible study just a little later. So Psalm 127. Remember, one of the songs of degrees that the children of Israel sang as they went up to the temple, up to the house of God, to worship him. It's the 127th Psalm. And let us hear the word of the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So we're going to end our reading just there, the close of the psalm. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. As you're aware, we have announced that we have a dedication this morning of little Esther Lawson. We're delighted about that, very happy. It's always encouraging for us to have a dedication as a congregation. We appreciate and are thankful for all the children and the young people of the congregation, and we're thankful the Lord has been pleased to give Nigel and Ruth another lovely, beautiful little baby girl added to their family and added to the church family here as well. So we're going to invite them if they'll come forward just at this time, and we're going to carry out the dedication. Just stand on the bush there. Just to read to you some appropriate scriptures for a time such as this. First of all, the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And then the New Testament scriptures, in connection with the Lord Jesus, it says, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And then finally, just one verse from Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. And we do know the Lord will again bless these readings of his word to our hearts. So Nigel and Ruth, in presenting your child here today for dedication, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Recognizing that children are the heritage of the Lord, do you now sincerely give this child back to the Lord and dedicate her to God and his will? Do you promise to bring this child up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, and by precept and example to teach her the great truths of the gospel? Thank you very much. Would the congregation please stand? In the name of the Lord Jesus, and in obedience to his command when he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God, I hereby receive this child, Esther Sarah Lawson, and dedicate you to the Lord and his will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen. Amen. Just a wee word of prayer together, please. Father, we seek your face, thankful that we can come at any time into your presence. We thank you for this occasion. We thank you for the dedication of little Esther. We want to bring this family, Father, before thee. Remember Nigel and Ruth. We thank you for them. We thank you for their love for the Lord and their support of the house of God here. We want to commit them into your hands today in prayer. We're conscious of the great responsibility of bringing little ones up in the things of God. And we're glad, Father, that we can seek thee and ask that they will know your help. We thank you for the support and the prayers of God's people and the congregation here. We ask you to hear those prayers for this family, especially for our brother and sister. Give to them the wisdom that is needed, and we pray the blessing of God will rest upon their home and their family. We ask you to remember little Esther especially today. We thank you for blessing our brother and sister with a lovely, beautiful, healthy little baby girl, for watching over Ruth during the pregnancy and the birth, and for Esther's safe arrival into this world. And Father, she's dedicated today to thee. We ask thee to do for her what you did for those children those many years ago when our Savior was here on earth. We ask that you'll put your hand upon this little one, and we pray that you'll bless her from her earliest days. We pray that you'll bless her with health and strength, soundness of body and mind. We pray that you'll guide her and bless her as she grows up and goes to school. Give her help in her education. Grant the wisdom that is needed. But especially, Father, we pray for your blessing spiritually to be upon this little one. We pray that you'll give her a heart for God. Pray that she might even be like Esther in the Scriptures, one that was taken up mightily and used of God, even to the blessing of your people. We think of Sarah too, one that was a mother in Israel. And Lord, we pray that it might be so, even for this little one, that she'll be used greatly, that her life will be a blessing to all that she meets and all that she comes in contact with. We ask you to remember Arthur and Martha as well at this time. We commit them into your hands. Thank you for them. Pray that your good hand will continue upon them. We pray, Father, that you'll guide them and watch over them as well, day by day. We're glad we can commit the whole family just into your hands. Praying, Father, that the family will know the blessing of God in all its fullness. That blessing that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. And we pray that you'll give to this family that great blessing of household salvation. We pray that they'll know that every member of the family is saved and the family circle is united in the things of God. Hear our prayers, Father, and we thank you too for family members gathered for this special occasion. We pray that they will know your presence and encouragement and even the blessing of God in their hearts this day as well. We offer these, our prayers, to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be with you.
My hands are wet.
Wasn't you very good? So if you look in that direction, the paparazzis. Maybe you want to bring the other two up, do you? Quick. Come on ahead. Where do you want to stand? In along the front here? There. Thank you, Ken. Thank you very much, everybody. We take the opportunity just to welcome you all to the Lord's house today. We're thankful for your presence with us. We're glad to see each one, especially those that are visiting with us. And we have members of the Lawson and Hunter families that are present with us for the dedication. So we give you a special word of welcome along to the service today. We're always glad to see the children and our young people. We appreciate your presence at Sunday school and Bible classes earlier. And we're glad to have each of you with us in the morning service too. And we want to welcome those that are watching the service from wherever that might be on the live stream. Pray the meeting is a blessing to your hearts as well. Remember the communion service immediately after this morning meeting. We encourage you to stay. We'll be receiving in two new members. The Sodans transferring their membership to us here in Armagh. So we want to encourage a good number of the congregation to wait for the Lord's table this morning. Then tonight at 6, the prayer meeting downstairs in the hall. 6:30, the gospel service. Remember, we're looking at the coverings of the tabernacle. We looked at the fine twine linen last Sabbath evening, the innermost of those coverings. We come to the second one tonight, the goat's hair. And that's a picture of the sin offering of our Saviour. So we invite you to come along to the meeting, even if you're not a regular attender at our evening service. We'd invite you to come. We'd be very thankful for your presence. Remember, Tuesday night at 7:30, the outreach team is recommencing for its summer work. Meeting here, first of all, at the church at 7:30. So we do encourage all of the members of the outreach team to be present, and we also encourage new members. Feel free. I know that our brother Billy and the other members of the team would be very encouraged if you came along and helped and got involved in that work. So remember that on Tuesday night. Wednesday at 8, the midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study, taking the form of a missionary deputation. Miss Elizabeth Edwards from our Lisburn Church will be with us. Elizabeth is a missionary candidate, outgoing missionary to Kenya. So she's just starting her round of deputations. We encourage you to come and hear how the Lord has been at work in Elizabeth's life for a number of years. And remember, there will be a missionary offering that will be taken, and that will go towards her support in her labours there on the mission field. Then next Lord's Day, the 14th of April, 10:40, the Sunday school and Bible classes. The service is 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. I hope to be preaching myself at both meetings. And please keep in mind the seasons of prayer, half hour before both meetings. Monday the 15th, that's Monday week, at 10 a.m. in the morning is the parent and toddler group. The next meeting of the parent and toddlers, please make that known. And then 8 o'clock in the evening is the ladies' fellowship. The speaker is Mrs. June McComb from the Banbridge Church, the wife of our brother, the Reverend Desmond McComb. June has a ministry making greeting cards, and the proceeds from that, she raises money for the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. She's been doing that for a number of years. She's very talented at the making of the cards. So she's going to tell a little bit of the story of how that came about, how she got started in that work. And she'll bring a wee word, a wee message to the ladies. And she's also going to bring some of her cards along for the ladies to see, and you will have the opportunity to purchase. So that's something special. That'll be the final meeting of this season of the Ladies' Fellowship, so something a wee bit different and a wee bit special. You will be able, if you would like to, make an order for a card. She does take special orders, makes cards especially for particular needs. So if you have any requests of our sister, you can bring those along with you on that night. So we encourage the ladies to please plan to attend, and we ask you to make that meeting as widely known as possible. Remember, then on Wednesday the 17th, so that's Wednesday week, we're having the Reverend Ronnie McCracken, former missionary to the Jewish people. Ronnie will be with us to do a Passover demonstration appropriate for this season. The following week will be the commencement of Passover this year. So he'll bring all the items associated with the Passover. He'll explain their meaning to us and point out the spiritual significance the typical significance of many of those items. You'll find that very profitable, very interesting. So plan to be present. That's Wednesday the 18th. Please mark that date. There is a youth rally tonight at 8:45 in Bethany. The singers are the Strip Sisters, and the speaker is the Reverend Brian Lorimer from the Clock Mills congregation. And there's some supper and fellowship then for all the young people afterwards. There is a new book that has been published. Mr. George McConnell from Kilkeel has primarily been responsible for the publishing of the book. He's been helped by the Reverend David Linden. Mr. Linden has been doing some writing in the years of his retirement, and he's given good support to our brother George. The book is called These Are the Names, and it tells the lives of some of those men and women that have been raised up by God and used in the early years of our denomination. So there's 25 life stories in total in the book. It includes the life of Margaret Armstrong, a former missionary to Kenya, founding member of the congregation here. It includes Mar Beth's uncle, the late Sam Rogers. Remember, Sam was a member of the church here in Armagh in the early years. Our sister Rhonda's grandfather is also included in one of the chapters, Wesley Chambers, who was an elder in the Mourne and Anna Long congregations. Mrs. Margaret Beggs, Dr. Paisley's sister, the wife of the Reverend James Beggs. Woolsey Smith from the Bethany Church, Mrs. Walkingshaw, the former matron of the college, and also Miss Dennison as well, who was the first matron of the college. So just to give you examples of some of the lives that are dealt with in the book, it's priced $7.99. We have a few copies. They're available at the door. We can get more if they are needed. If you take a copy, please put your name down on the list that's there on the table and indicate when the book has been paid for. Just to congratulate our brother Cecil Spence in reaching his 90th birthday. That took place on Wednesday past. We ask you to remember, brother, that he'll know the Lord's blessing, and he'll continue to know the Lord's strength and grace as well for the days that lie ahead. Just quickly, some missionary updates for you, just that you're aware of what's taking place and able to pray for the Lord's help and blessing. The Reverend and Mrs. Mercer, the chairman of the board, and his wife are out in Australia. They travelled out to Australia on Wednesday past. They're going to visit all of our churches out there. Think of how remote the churches are from us here in Northern Ireland, and especially the ministers and their wives and families. So they're looking forward to the fellowship and our brother's ministry. They're in Tasmania at present. That was their first stop. The service is there. Our brother will also be conducting the ordination on behalf of the presbytery of a new elder for the Lock Church and the Port Lincoln Church. That will take place in a joint service. So it's been over 10 years since a representative of the board went out to visit the churches in Australia. That was prevented a little because of the COVID pandemic. So remember the Reverend and Mrs. Mercer, the Reverend John Greer, the Clerk of Presbytery, the Reverend Garth Wilson, a board member. They are out visiting Kenya over this weekend, the early part of the week. That's to represent the presbytery and the board at retirement services for the Reverend Malcolm and Mrs. Allison Patterson. They're retiring from missionary service. Our brother turned 70 at the end of last year. So do remember those meetings. They had a very encouraging meeting down in Naporo yesterday. They're holding two retirement services so that the people from the different areas will have opportunity to bid farewell to the Pattersons. The service yesterday was 4.5 hours in length in typical African style. The Reverend Greer preached at that. So there's another service today in Katali. And then on Thursday coming, the Pattersons will be leaving Kenya. So you appreciate that'll be a difficult day for them and the people there in Kenya as well. Remember the work in Kenya at this transition period, as our brother, Mr. Glenn Hamilton, prepares to go out a little later in the year, and then, God willing, Miss Edwards at the beginning of, of next year. Keep them in your prayers. There is to be a welcome home service for the Pattersons. Will be held in their home church in Coleraine. That'll be on Tuesday, the 11th of June. And there'll be an opportunity that night just to say a little bit more of all that the Lord did through them there in that land. The Reverend Andrew Patterson from our neighbouring church in Market Hill, and also Dr. Ian Brown. Dr. Brown's the Deputy Moderator, Minister of Martyrs. They're going out to Nepal in this incoming week for the annual pastors' conference, also for the graduation of the college. They'll be present and participate in that. They'll be visiting some churches, opening a new church, and visiting the radio station as well. So keep those brethren in mind. Keep them in your prayers as they travel. They'll be out there for just a little under 2 weeks. And then next weekend, our brother, Mr. Alistair Hamilton, and his wife, Jenny, they'll be going out to Uganda just to help with a little bit of oversight of the building project and give a little bit of support, particularly to Miss McAfee at this time while the Kerskadens are here. They will be going back towards the end of next week, so that'll overlap a wee bit. Miss McAfee will take the Hamiltons back to the airport, and then she'll pick the Kerskadens up and bring them back to the mission station. So there's quite a bit that's taking place, and your prayers are very much needed for all of those trips, for travelling mercies, the Lord's blessing, and they'll be used to the furtherance of the Lord's work right across the earth. We're going to sing 690 before we come to the scriptures. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world is darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. So 690, please, will stand as we sing. Let's just pray together for a moment for the Lord's help as we come to his word this morning. Thank you, Father, for your presence, your help already in the meeting. We commit the remainder of the service just into your hands, praying that you'll prosper, make very profitable to us our study, our meditation of your word. We ask that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask thee to speak to us. We pray for your blessing upon this testimony in the week that lies ahead, every department of it. We remember especially the outreaches that recommences. Go before our brethren and sisters. We pray that you'll grant them favor with the people, especially the literature that is distributed in the homes. We pray, Father, for many to read it, and we pray that it might be used to bring them into the light of the gospel and to bring many into God's house to be taught the scriptures. Hear our prayers, Father. Be with us now. We ask that you'll give us an Emmaus Road experience today. May Jesus himself draw near and go with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 127, the final two verses, are our text this morning. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm going to speak to you for a few moments this morning about letting the children go. For some, that has already happened. The older members of the congregation, the day has come and passed when you let your children go. For some families in the congregation, that is yet before you. That experience is yet to take place. So thinking about letting the children go. In this psalm, I emphasize to you, in the words we've taken as our text, there is a weapon that is spoken about, is referred to, described. Mention is made particularly of the arrow, but remember that the arrow goes with the bow. An arrow can't be used without the bow. So there's a weapon that is mentioned here. I point out or suggest to you that not so many today use the bow and arrow. There's not so many today that know as much about it maybe as former generations did. Not so many today are proficient in the use of the bow and arrow. But I highlight and I emphasize to you, there's one thing that we all know about the use of a bow and arrow, and that is that the archer has to let the arrow go. There is a lot of training. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of care when it comes to the shooting of the arrow. A lot of time that is taken as well. But then there comes the point that he has to let the arrow go. If that arrow is going to be of any use, and if that arrow is going to make its mark. And let me ask you to note that the psalmist here likens children to the arrows. If you look at verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So the psalmist is drawing a likeness here between arrows and children. There's many lessons, many similarities that could be considered. We're going to look at some of those. And one very clear similarity is what we've highlighted already, that there is a day that will come, and for parents it comes all too quickly, and that is the day that you must let your children go. That's not an easy thing. Every parent knows that, can testify to that. It's not an easy thing to let your children go. But there's a day when it must take place. You must let them go. Let them go from the home in which they grew up. And you must let them go even more than that, from your care and from your control. Let them go to make their own way in life. Let them go to set up their own home and then set up their own family. And there are some things, brethren and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, some things I want to suggest and stress, some things we'd like to emphasize and even challenge you with as you think of letting the children go, as you look forward to that day. Things that every parent needs to consider. Things that every parent needs to concentrate upon and work at as you prepare yourself and as you prepare your children for that time, that day of letting them go. The first thing I'll emphasize to you is that of direction. Remember that it's vital, a vital thing for the archer that he points the arrow in the right direction. And remember that often he doesn't have very much time to do that. And isn't that, brethren and sisters, what parenthood, isn't that what family life, bringing up children, is all about? Pointing them in the right direction. In the few years that you have, the few years that is afforded to you. And remember, there's only one of two directions that you can be pointing. either on the road to heaven, the narrow road that leads to life, or on the road to hell, the broad road that leads to destruction. I take a moment just to ask everyone in the service today, in which of those two directions are you pointing, are you facing on this Sabbath morning as you're found in the Lord's house? But parents, here is your great task, a great and solemn responsibility given to you by God, to point your children to heaven, to point them in the ways of God, as we read in the scriptures a little earlier, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Can I say to the children and to the young people especially, but can I say to the adults as well, because I want you to remember what you were taught as a child, however many years ago that may be. So I say to you all this morning, as you live the rest of your life, remember the direction that you were pointed in as you were brought up. Some of you here this morning can testify to having been brought up in godly homes by God-fearing parents. So I encourage you to remember the things that you were taught. Live the rest of your life in the direction that they pointed you. Always seek to walk in the paths of righteousness. Remember, it doesn't matter that you never become rich. It doesn't matter if you ever become famous. It doesn't matter if you're not that popular in the community. The most important thing is to please the Lord by the way that you live here upon this earth. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews about Enoch, that before his translation, before the Lord called him up to heaven, took him home, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that a great thing, brethren and sisters? May the Lord give us that desire to live in a way that is pleasing to him. I stress to you all, it's not easy to live the Christian life. We can hear the wind as it blows, and blowing for a day or so quite strongly. Well, even in the Christian life, there are strong winds of adversity that want to blow you off course. That can happen to the archer. Sometimes he has to take that into account when he's firing the arrow, the winds that are blowing and the effect of the force of that wind upon the arrow. So I urge you, brethren and sisters, always seek to do what is right in the sight of God, however difficult and however challenging the path may be. You think of the archer as he points the arrow in the right direction. He always aims at a certain point, and that is the bullseye, or the center of the target. And brethren and sisters, that's how to live the Christian life. Every day you live, aim at the center. Aim at the center of his will. That's the bullseye in God's target. And never deviate from it. Don't be diverted. Don't turn aside from that target. Do you remember what the Lord said to Joshua? In obeying God's word, he urged him to turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, he was urging him always to aim at the center. And brethren and sisters, there's no better, no happier, more useful place to be. So that's the first thing we emphasize, especially to parents in the meeting this morning. As you're thinking of that day, preparing yourself and your children for the day that you let them go, think of the direction, the responsibility to point them in the right direction in the things of God. And then the responsibility for all of us, a little older, to remember the direction that we were pointed and to seek to follow that pathway, especially in the things of God. Then let me emphasize, in the second place, the distance. In the use of all weapons, distance is very important. You always need to be accurate in how far it has to go. And archery, brethren and sisters, is no different. You have to be very careful, very, very accurate in how far the projectile, how far the arrow will go. Remember, if the arrow falls short, it won't hit the mark. It won't hit the target. It won't have any effect. If the arrow falls short, it will just slide along the ground. So the reality is that the archer has to be very careful, and the arrow needs to go the distance. The arrow needs to go all the way. And I want to urge the young people in the meeting this morning, especially, you do the same. Go all the way with God. Go all the way in the Christian life. Go all the way with the Lord Himself. Do you remember Abraham when he first left home, when he first left Ur of the Chaldees? He only went halfway with God. He didn't go all the way to the land of Canaan. He stopped off because of his father's influence. His father was a bad influence on him at that time. But he stopped off for a number of years in Haran. And the warning, brethren and sisters, is don't be like Abraham. Don't follow his example at that time. Go all the way with God. Be fully surrendered in the Christian life. Be sold out to God. What Mr. Moody called O&O Christians. In other words, out and out for Christ. And brethren and sisters, be in no doubt today. That's the only way to live the Christian life. Not half-heartedly, not apathetically. Out and out for Christ. Living for Christ with all your heart. So brethren and sisters, go all the way with God. Live for Him with all your heart. And live for Him with all of your days. Noel Grant, that came from just outside this city, said in his very well-known hymn, "Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay." He was urging complete dedication of your life to Christ, to His will, and to His service. Can I remind you that arrows don't fly on their own? There's no mention of the bow here in this psalm, but it's inferred. Remember that to use an arrow, you need to have a bow. And there's two parts to the bow. There's the wood and the string. And that's like the two parents in the home. And the power of the bow, that will determine how far the arrow actually goes. Remember, we're thinking here of the distance. And the reality is, mother and father, it's the power of your influence. It's the power of your example, jointly, as you walk together and as you live together. It is the power of your influence and example that will determine how far your children go in the things of God. That is one vital factor ever to keep in mind. So I want to ask you today, in the light of that, what sort of influence are you having on your home, your children? And can I ask as well to the older family members, what sort of influence is your life having upon your grandchildren or great-grandchildren? You remember Enoch? We mentioned him a little earlier. At the birth of his child Methuselah, the birth of Methuselah changed his life. Changed his life for God. It was from the time of Methuselah's birth that the years were counted. Those 300 years that Enoch walked with God. What an influence, what an example he was. So I say to you this morning, if the Lord blesses you with children, the Lord blesses your family with grandchildren, remember how vital the right influence is. If they are to go in the right direction, if they are to go all the way with God, the influence of a consistent walk with God, the influence of both husband and wife and grandparents as well, that is something that is vital in their spiritual development. So remember the two pieces of the bow, the two pieces working together. And brethren and sisters, that's what's needed in the home. It's a sad thing that sometimes that is often what is lacking in the home. So that's a little about the distance. Let me say something to you thirdly about the defense. Remember that arrows are a weapon of defense. They're used to defend people, to defend homes, families, even countries. And I point out to you that godly children are the same. They're a weapon of defense. A weapon of defense in the church. and they're a weapon of defence to the things of God in the nation as well. As Christian parents, as we think of that day, letting our children go, letting them go out into the world, letting them go out into society, one thing we need to prepare them for is to be set for the defence of the gospel. That's something that is vital, brethren and sisters. Think of the godless day in which we're found. If the church is to continue, if the church is to have a future, the psalm speaks about children are an heritage of the Lord. So if the church is to have a spiritual heritage, and if there's going to be a defending of the things of God in the land, it'll only be done as those children are brought up, and when they're let go, that they're ready to take their stand for the things of the Lord. And young people, let me remind you as well of the great need to defend the things of God in the days in which we live. Defend the Lord's name. Never allow his name to be taken in vain or his name to be blasphemed. Take a stand to defend the Lord's day in this sad day of Sabbath desecration. Take a stand to defend the word of God and to defend the honor of his name. We need to be set for the defense of the gospel in this godless age in which we're found. We need to be those that are ready to earnestly contend for the faith. You think of the hymn we often sing, penned by George Duffield, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And I want to say that to everyone in the meeting today, every believer, want to make that exhortation, the importance of that in our day and generation, to stand up for Jesus, be counted in the cause of the gospel. Remember the story of the young girl sitting in the university class, and her lecturer was ridiculing the things of God, atheistic, a professor that was ridiculing the Bible's account of creation. The little young girl was grieved, and she stood up in the class and prayed for courage and started to sing those words. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers off the cross, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Others stood with her in the class that day, gave her support, and what a testimony that raised. May God give us similar courage to stand for him in these days. So it's vital, brethren and sisters, to defend the gospel. And it's vital for the defense of the gospel to raise godly children. That is one of the greatest weapons that the Lord has given to us in the fight of faith. And I stress to you, and I know that this is contrary to all that is taught in the society in which we are found, that's one of the reasons, brethren and sisters, why parenting is so important. Because of the influence that those young people can have in a future day, an influence for God upon our land and in our society. The book of Judges says, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. Those words apply to our land today. We're living in such a day. There's a generation arising around us, even in this favored province, that knows not the Lord. Why did evil come in, brethren and sisters? Well, because the things of God were forgotten. That's a sad thing, a sad reflection. So we need to pray for a change in our nation. Take that upon your heart. And we need to pray for a generation again in this land that knows the Lord. And that's one of the responsibilities we have as parents, as a church, to have that influence, to teach, so that they grow up as a generation that knows God, that fears him, and that wants to serve him in this land and be taken up to be used for his glory. I remind you that arrows need to be sharp. A blunt arrow is not very useful or very effective. And the archer, one of the responsibilities that he has is to take time to sharpen the arrows. And we need to do the same with our lives, with the lives of our family. Do you know how you do that? Do you know how you sharpen your life? You sharpen the lives of your children? You do it by this book. You do it by the Word of God. In the dedication a little earlier, we read those words, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." What a challenge that verse is. Do you teach your children the things of God? "Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." It's talking about the conversation in a Christian home. "Thou shalt talk of them." Talk of the word of God when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It should be our constant conversation. That word "teach," "thou shalt teach them." The word "teach" there is to sharpen or to whet. W-H-E-T. Some of the older folk will remember that word "whet." When you use the scythe or the hook or the slasher or what they called in farming circles the billhook, you would take out the stone and you would whet the edge. It is the idea of sharpening. And that's what we are to do, brethren and sisters. In the teaching of the word of God, it sharpens your life. It sharpens the lives of your children. So that's why there's the need of Bible study, the need to teach your children the scriptures, to faithfully attend the meetings that they sit under the preaching of the word of God. That's one of the reasons why the family altar is so important, to teach your children, to sharpen them, their lives, in the truths of God's word. Do you have such a thing? Do you take time to read and pray together? The final thing is the delight. Verse 5, "Happy is that man that hath his quiver full of them." Great question when you come to this psalm that's often asked is, how many is the quiver full? You talk to different people, read different commentators, there's different numbers that are suggested. Some suggest it's as many as 10. I remember being in conversation with a father he and his wife had just had their first child, and we were talking about that verse, and he asked how many was the quiver full, and I said, well, some suggest 10. He said, well, I think our quiver will be 9 short. Well, they did have 3 more children after that. The best answer, men and women, to the question, how many is a quiver full? Well, the quiver's full when you think yourself it's full. When you say, as a couple, as a husband and a wife, I don't think it's wise or right to be definitive as far as what the number is concerned, for this reason. Many circumstances are different for every home, and many circumstances are different for every couple. Sometimes circumstances of health that need to be taken into consideration, and those circumstances determine how many children you can have. So the quiver is full whenever you yourselves feel it's the right time to say that that quiver is full. And that's the reason, if I could give a word of caution, that's the reason why you should never pass smart comments to couples about their home or their family or their children or the number of children they have in their family. You don't know their circumstances. You don't know all the details. You don't know the situation maybe that they have passed through. So you need to be very wise and very careful in those things. If you think of the word there at the beginning of that 5th verse, happy or blessed is that man that hath his quiver full of them. The reality, brethren and sisters, children bring happiness. They bring happiness and they bring a blessing to the home and to the family. And I want to say as well, as the minister of the church, that children bring happiness and a blessing to the church life and to the church family as well. We're glad of the presence of every child, every young person in the congregation. And the reality is they bring great happiness and blessing, the greatest. I don't think I could stress that enough. They bring the greatest happiness and blessing. And that's something that we should never forget. And it's something that we should never lose sight of, especially children that are saved, children that are godly, children that go in the right direction, that go all the way with God, children that are raised up to be used to defend the testimony of Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing those children are. So here's the lesson, brethren and sisters, Christian parent in the meeting today. If you want that blessing, you want to be a happy parent, if you want to have a happy family and a happy home, then concentrate on the bringing up of your family. Don't neglect that task. Don't be diverted from it. I know that that's not the trend in society today. But don't follow the trends of society. Follow the teaching of the Word of God. And bring your children up. Take time to bring them up in the things of God. And it will bring you a great blessing in years to come. In fact, we could say it will bring you an eternal blessing. And if you think of that day when you will have to let your children go, it's a great thing if they will be able to go with your blessing upon them, your blessing upon their married life as they set up their own home, set up their own family, the great blessing of them marrying in the Lord and marrying the right person. Is that not something, brethren and sisters, that is one of the choicest blessings for families in this world, that they can leave your home and set up their own with your blessing upon what they're doing and with your prayers, that they will know the fullness of His blessing upon their married life and upon their home the rest of their days, the rest of their life here upon this earth. So here's a little of letting the children go. The direction, the distance, the fact that they're a defense, and then the delight, the great blessing that they are, and the great blessing they will be. I close with this thought. Verse 4 speaks of the mighty man, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. That's a reference especially to Christ. Can I remind you always to look for Christ as you read and study the Scriptures? And remember this, brethren and sisters, when you let your children go, there's a sense that your hand will not be upon their life in the same way as it was before. Previously, when they're in the home, you had the care, the control of their lives to a large extent. But when you let them go to make their own way in life, your hand is not on your life, on their life in the same way. But it's a great thing to know and a great truth to ponder that brings great encouragement and great comfort to every Christian parent, to know that if you're walking with God and you brought them up well in the things of God, that His hand has been upon their life from the very beginning. And His hand will continue to be upon their lives, guiding, blessing, and keeping them right until the journey's end. His hand will be upon them, guiding, blessing, and keeping them in all that they do, in all that they do, until their life is over. So letting the children go, as the archer lets the arrows go, that day comes as well in family life, we have to let them go. So here's a little of the teaching of the Word of God to help you prepare yourself and prepare your children, prepare your family for that day. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. May God bless His word to every heart. 747 is our closing hymn. 747, in keeping with the message today, will give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counsellor and guide, where every child is taught His love and favour, and gives its heart to Christ the crucified. We're going to sing the verses 1, 2, and 4, leaving out the third. I'll go to the door after the singing of the first verse. And if you're not able to remain for the communion, you'll have opportunity to leave the service at that time. So verses 1, 2, and 4, 747, we'll stand as we sing, please.